back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it's an honor to be back again Sunday night. You know we are in somber times when a great show and a great American patriot like Alex Jones, InfoWars, due to close, and the conversation is broken down to the level that it is. The culture has decayed to the point it has. We're in somber times. We're at a pivotal moment. We get to choose. I mean, hey, you could sit back and say, oh, man, this guy, Royce White, this dumb Negro. What's he talking about? He doesn't know what's going on. Okay, fine. Well, you show me. I'm in the belly of the beast. I hear the call to prayer 5 times a day. I know that the Islamification and the agenda is real. It's no question that it's real. It's no question we need to be concerned. It's no question that eventually there will be a war that we will have to fight with righteous and divine confidence and favor. That will hearken us right back to the Crusades. But never forget the Crusades. I mean, I think people kind of iconicize the Crusades partly because American Christianity or Western Christianity has been neutered and become so soft juxtaposed to the time of the Crusades. You know, we kind of romanticize it. You know, Crusades. I posted a video the other day of the video of a movie that depicted the Crusades, but, you know, some real Christian warriors. And the left will use it against us and say, hey, you know, Christianity has spilled the blood of a lot of people across, you know, history. People need to go back and study the Crusades. The Byzantine Empire. And remember, you know, there was a battle there where the Crusaders had to push past the Byzantines who had all but, you know, kind of been beaten into a stalemate and were somewhat on the retreat. It tells you sometimes when you come at a war from multiple angles, the people who are standing right beside you don't necessarily have the same fortitude that you do, even if they believe in the exact same God or the exact same denomination for that matter. Sometimes they don't have the same spirit. Sometimes their orientation isn't the same as yours. Sometimes their agenda and their priorities aren't the same as yours. We're going to talk more about the Crusades next weekend. We're going to get down into some detail. Because there is a war against Christianity. There is a war against the West. There is a war against this country. The question is, what is America's role in it? And that's a prudent question to ask. Why is that an anti-Semitic question? Why is the consideration of whether or not we spend time, energy, and resources on a given war makes us anti-Semitic? It's ridiculous. It should be a non-starter. In a rational society, it'd be a non-starter. What do you mean? Should we be involved in this war or not? At this moment, at this time, I saw today that Polymarket, maybe it was today, maybe it was in the last couple of days, that Polymarket for the first time now says the Democrats are going to take control of the Senate in the midterms. And here I am running for United States Senate, and the Senate Republicans, like Tim Scott, have recruited a sideline NFL reporter to come and save the day, save the country. In this nation's darkest hour, you don't look to your strong patriots. You look to women. To put it mildly, women. Be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. You got me for the next hour. Royce White, the belly of the beast. We'll be right back in a moment.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. And I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I know people are probably sick of this topic. I'm kind of getting sick of it. But you got to be tough enough to stick in there and actually sort it out. That's kind of our problem. We kick the can down the road on so many tough topics because we don't ever come to a resolution on a lot of these things. We just oscillate right there in place. We just oscillate right there on an issue, and you think it's going away. It's not going away. It's not going away. Our inability to talk about things honestly, to deal with issues honestly, is not going away. You even look at the American people, you say, you know, granted, let's, for argument's sake, let's say that the elections are square, which they're not, but let's just say for argument's sake, the elections are fair and secure, which again, they're not. I almost hesitate to even say it. But for argument's sake, why does the football tend to bounce back and forth? Could it be that the American people find one party to be leaning too much in a certain direction that would change the status quo and actually start to fix some of the problems that we get benefits from? And so the safe thing to do, the instinct is to, you know, start to walk back to the other side. And they tell us all the time, oh, well, the independent. I mean, look at the way that they fence the narrative about about these elections. No, the independents aren't like in the ICE deportations. Oh, the independents are, you know, they're leaving the coalition. They have a problem with ICE. They have a problem with mass deportations. Do you? Do you really? Independents? I want to talk to some of them. Maybe that's what we'll do here. The next couple of weekends that we have left, maybe we'll just open up the phone lines. And I want to hear from the detractors. I want to hear all from all the detractors. We'll start that next Sunday. Just go open up the phone lines for 2 hours straight. I want to hear. We'll have to hold it to 5 minutes because, you know, we'll get one person on there and we'll end up being on for an hour straight with one person. So we'll try and keep the call short, but I want to hear from real people. I want to hear real people. I want to hear what people actually are saying about some of this stuff. Because I see the polls and then I'm on the campaign trail and then I talk to everyday people and a lot of them don't even know what the First Amendment really says. Or the second, for that matter, or the 14th, or the 19th. See, again, Alex Jones so aptly named the program InfoWars. Because that is the heart of what's going on, all the way back to the garden. Since time immemorial, there's been an InfoWar waged on humanity. We're at the precipice of that info war. It's political, but it's spiritual. And a split in the Christian community between Protestants and Catholics, we're going to play pity-pat we're going to curse each other. We're going to fight now with the hordes at our wall. And it's interesting. And you guys know Deus Vult. I'm a Catholic through and through. I hear people say Catholics aren't even Christian. Excuse you? The last time we fought the Muslims, it would be the Catholics that decided it was go time. I mean, really fought. But we got to heal that rift. And if we can choose not to. We can choose not to. That's fine. Obviously, that's our choice. God wills it. I mean, the will is to give us the choice. And we have that choice right now. We can certainly choose to fight right into the abyss, to watch the demise of this country. We're watching it. We know it right now. This country's dying. This country is dying from within. Death by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln put it. We're watching it unfold right now before our very eyes. And it seems nobody's mature enough to really get a hold of things. President Trump is trying, and you can criticize him all you want, but he's the only presidential candidate that I've witnessed in my lifetime that's even putting up a fight, even trying to save this country. We've hit a hiccup here where we're walking into a heated political environment, a rigged political environment, where the information is just as weaponized as the insecurity of the machines we use to cast our ballots. A 2026 midterm where the scapegoat to vote for Democrats is going to be Israel. And how do you square the circle out there for all you independents and Democrats? Because I know you see a lot of Jews around President Trump and a lot of people who are clearly connected to Israel and have Israel's interest in mind. They're not even hiding it. They're saying it right out in the open. Israel and America are tied at the hip. Our fates are intertwined. We're inextricably linked, like the American-Israel front. Okay, fine. I hear it. How does the left square the circle? Because my last opponent in the United States Senate race here in Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, is probably one of the most well-funded AIPAC politicians in the whole country. Amy Klobuchar has gotten, I think, $700,000-$800,000 from AIPAC, which is a lot. Not to mention, how the business is really done. And the way the business is really done is, you got a stock here, you got a deal here, you got a book deal, There's ways for us to funnel you cash. Trust me, if the CIA and the intelligence community see it as in the nation's best interest for you to be whatever it is they need you to be, they can get you the cash. We're very good at that. Never forget the pallets of cash we sent over to Iran when Barry Sordero was president of the United States. We can get you cash. That's one thing we got because we print it. It was just poof out of thin air. We're like cash genies here in America. We just make cash appear anywhere, anytime we want. They can get you cash. My point is, how do the Democrats square the circle? Good. We know you hate President Trump. You hate Alex Jones. You hate conservatives. You hate Christians. You hate white Christian men. You hate black heterosexual Christian men. You hate Republicans. You hate people who live out in the country or rural America. You hate people who don't have college degrees. I don't have a college degree. 60 credits away, I could easily get one. But I don't know if I'm so interested anymore because I think the PhD now represents something that's crushing this country, a crisis of credentials, an over-accredited society, thinks they're smarter than they are, more information than they have wisdom. More information than wisdom is always a problem. People have convinced themselves that they're right in their own little echo chamber, whether it be online, social media, about certain political topics, or even if it's in the bowels of the university system. Democrats hate those people. They hate a lot of people. I understand. You got a lot of hatred. You detest certain people. You just cannot share the same air with them. I understand. I understand your grievance. I understand your plight. The world is against you for the most part, except the LGBTQ. You know, you love them. You love you some women, except the women who oppose you or don't agree. You hate them. You hate a woman who's conservative. Oh, you hate a woman who's conservative almost as much as you hate a black man who's conservative. Your animosity towards conservative women is palpable. They're persona non grata at your little yoga studios. You love you some Muslims. You love you a Imam Dani. I'll give you a communist Muslim. We're in the money. A communist Muslim is like a premium cut ribeye steak, unless you're vegan. And there are a lot of vegan cokeheads now on the left, too. But we know you hate a lot of people, is the point. How do you square the circle? Because you seem to hate Israel. You seem to share a hatred of the Jews with the people who they say are the far-right anti-Semites. How do you square the circle that you're going to vote for an Amy Klobuchar to be the governor of Minnesota and she's eyeball deep in AIPAC money? Another war hawk. Never seen a war she didn't like. Never seen a defense contract she didn't like. How do you square those circles? See, we're coming to this crossroads here in America where everything is revealed. All of the contradiction is revealed. Everybody's real intentions and motives and their real position or their real beliefs, principle on a given thing are revealed. The great reveal. Maybe this moment in American history should be called the Great Reveal. This is the Great Reveal chapter, not the Great Reset. Oh, no, no, no. We're far away from resetting anything. We're not resetting. We're revealing things. Like it's been revealed that the MAGA movement has way, way too much fealty to Israel. Too much. Any way you slice it, it's not anti-Semitic. I'm not even anti-Israel. In fact, if we really got down to the nuts and bolts, I'm probably a little bit more pro-Israel than most people in that I think Israel has the right to pursue as big a territorial footprint as we had the right to pursue in the earliest years of our nation. As far as intellectual honesty and intellectual consistency go, I can't discredit Israel's right to take as much of the Middle East as they possibly can, because that would delegitimize America doing the same thing in the earliest days of our nation. Certainly, the United States of America didn't look the way it does now in the beginning, and there's a reason for that, and I'm happy that it turned out the way that it did, to be quite honest. Bumps along the road. Wasn't perfect. But I drive across this country too. People make fun of me because I don't really like to fly. The last senator from Minnesota that was a little quick to get in airplanes didn't make it. Senator Wellstone, who I don't agree with on a lot of things, but he was a good politician in that he got his boots on the ground and he went across the state and he met with the people. He did real retail politics. And really, Paul Wellstone laid the groundwork for the Amy Klobuchars and Tina Smiths. And in fact, the Paul Wellstone model laid the groundwork for the entire Democrat Party nationwide. I may disagree with him on some things, but he was a good politician. And oh, by the way, he was Jewish. So I guess I'm probably not as anti-Semitic as you would assume. He did get in a plane and die in a very mysterious and conspicuous way, I might add. I don't like to fly. That's not why. I just think people are jerk-offs, and I don't trust that pilots don't fall into that category. I don't trust that the people at TSA or the mechanics that work on the planes, and even more so, I just, in full transparency, If I was going to pick the way that I die, and obviously we can't pick the time or the hour, God gets to choose that. But if I had a say, if I have a choice, if I can have any effect on the when and the where or the how, the last thing I would ever want to do is have my final moments being in a fuselage with 250 other jerk-offs screaming in terror. It's the last way I would want to die. I'd rather get shot in the head. I'd rather be martyred like Charlie Kirk. I'd rather go out in a glorious martyrdom like Charlie Kirk than be on a commercial airline with 250 other people who need to get somewhere faster than they really need to get there. So me, I like to take a nice drive. You get to see flyover country. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to drive across this great nation and see it up close. All the places that they call flyover, where the deplorables live, where the small town rural folks live. And I got to tell you, I've walked into gas stations and little towns that look like they're straight out of a horror movie. And the white people there greet me just the same as they do anywhere else. They don't look at me funny. They don't side-eye me. They don't roll their eyes. They're not rude. They're kind. They're welcoming. They're helpful. I love driving across this country. And I say that to say, I'm out there. I'm out there driving across the country. I've seen America up close for the last 4 years now. And I gotta say, we have a beautiful country. If you don't like the way it came to be the country that it is because of the way it came to be the country that it is, fine. We can make that critique, dissect that about any nation in the on the planet. But I like it. I'm proud of the nation we have. I said all that to say Israel has a right to take as much of the Middle East as they want. Sorry, the rest of you Arab countries, the rest of you powers there in the Middle East, people in the Middle East, you got to decide the fate of your territory and the integrity of your territorial borders and all of that. You got to sort that stuff out. The question is, what is America's role in all of that? What are our priorities? I said this on the show 2 weeks ago. I said, hey, end of the day, you yell death to the West, don't cry genocide. That's not proper. That's not a proper way to look at things. That's just dishonest. You yell death to the West for whatever reason, you can't cry genocide. You said you wanted to fight. Don't say you want to fight and then cry when you get punched in the mouth. In my neighborhood, we call that being a word that rhymes with wussy. You want to fight, you get punched in the mouth. You take it. Come back, you fight again. Seems to be what the mullahs are doing right now. But the Democrats are going to yell, genocide. And even some people on the right are going to say, oh, we're doing Israel's bidding. And we have given up too much influence. But the bottom line is, there will be a holy war. The question is when. When, why, and to what end goal? if a war is gonna ensue, certainly the end goal of the war, a holy war, righteous and divine war for Americans, doesn't result in us not being able to criticize anybody, any country, any group of people, any individuals. No war that American patriots fight ends in a circumstance where Americans are expected not to voice our opinion or criticize people, countries, groups, when the facts are right in front of our face. And I bring you all the way back to the beginning. The conservative movement has no problem talking about black people anymore. And I think that's a good thing. Praise be to God. Praise be to God that the racial issue isn't going to be isn't going to continue to be weaponized to bring this country to its knees. Praise be to God that we're not going to sit back and say every person who has a critique about the Democrat Party or liberals or the LGBTQ or CRT or what's going on in the public schools or what's going on in the neighborhood with young black men killing each other or, in some cases, killing white folks. Praise be to God, we're not going to let that slide anymore. We're not going to turn a blind eye and pretend that what's right in front of our eyes isn't right in front of our eyes. So we can't say that there's a Jewish lobby. I had somebody tell me to say there's a Jewish lobby makes me anti-Semitic. I said, excuse me? So you think you can stand in the middle of the room with a huge sign that says AIPAC, Jewish lobby for the relationship between America and Israel, and I'm supposed to pretend you're not standing there with a sign? Well, that's just not gonna work for me. Sorry. That's just not gonna work. If that makes me unelectable, then I wear it as a badge of honor. And I guess some of us who are running for office, some of us candidates have to be a sort of proof in the process that American society is more interested in things that make them feel good, things that are convenient, more so than things that solve problems or foster the well-being and prosperity of the American people and our nation as a whole. Maybe that's where we are in this country. Just maybe. It's not an indictment of me. Got to look in the mirror. I can't say there's a Jewish lobby. What in the world have we done to this country? Maybe it was always going to come to this. I don't know. I mean, but what have we done to this country that you can't even say there's a Jewish lobby or you're anti-Semitic? You're obsessed with the Jews. I'm not obsessed with anybody. As an American citizen, I long to understand why there's any group of people that would suggest, that would expect that I don't mention a group that's identified themselves in a specific way, and they're standing right in front of me with a sign that says AIPAC, and then say, don't say that there's a Jewish lobby. That's a little anti-Semitic. The NAACP is a black lobby, not a lobby, but an organization, ipso facto, same thing. And, well, the NCAA has a lot of Jewish influence as well, but it's a lobby for black people. I mean, what are we talking about? We can't say that. That's off limits. That makes you anti-Semitic. That makes you a Jew hater. And I've known Laura Loomer, you know, for years now. And I think Laura Loomer's tough. I think Laura Loomer's got a set of gonads on her that is rare even in some men in our society. But I think you're way out over your skis, Laura. And I think the expectation for this entire dialogue is absurd on face value. And I'm open to talk to anybody. Like I said, next Sunday we'll work it out with the production crew and we'll open the phone lines up for 2 hours. I want to hear what real people actually think. And if some of you out there who have a difference of opinion on this issue, please get ready to call and get your arguments in order. Maybe I am obsessed, or maybe I'm just tired of being called anti-Semitic for mentioning something that is kind of important. I mean, we're in a war. InfoWars Live Sunday night, the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be back on the other side of the break in another 30 minutes. Stay tuned.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today. When you wake
up in the morning, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, Sunday Night Live here on InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Morris White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I hope you're enjoying the show. I know we're talking about the most controversial issue in American politics. Over the last 30 minutes here, I want to talk more political strategy, and it involves that issue as well. But, you know, there's some more hard-pressing issues that we got to sort out. Least of which, say that facetiously, is the SAVE Act. And it appears that President Trump has withdrawn, it appears, and you know, there's no way to know what President Trump is going to do, but it would appear, as some are reporting, that John Cornyn's opportunity to secure President Trump's endorsement in the Texas Senate runoff has passed, which is a great sign. Which is a great sign that the real situation, the real urgency of the situation here in our country is starting to shape up to be a priority. And the president is taking heed of who his real friends are and who his enemies are, quite frankly. John Cornyn, I don't think anybody can regard John Cornyn as a friend to the president or the MAGA movement. Certainly he is an America First. But I don't even really know if he's a Republican, to be quite honest. Another Democrat in a MAGA hat. And there are some Democrats who will take, not many, but there are some Democrats who will take. John Cornyn doesn't even make that list. Ain't that interesting? There are some Democrats over there that I'm sure we could, you know, we could find some middle ground with. John Cornyn ain't making that list. We're going to talk about some of that stuff. But I just wanted to, Exhibit A, just in the break, I was looking at my phone and I saw somebody say, oh, Royce White, he's taking his political run serious. He's fishing for that check from AIPAC. Exhibit A, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This one issue has become so distorted and so front and center that you can't even talk about it. If you even talk about it, you're an anti-Semite. And then if you don't, I don't know exactly know what people expect me to say. I would assume that this type of person would expect me to say, it's all the Jews' fault. And I mean, you know, if you want to go there, if that's your line of country, if that's your cup of tea from your thought leaders, from your commentators, from your candidates, your elected officials, if that's the type of, politics that you're interested in, you get to make that choice. That's the beautiful thing about this country. I just think it's silly. I think it's silly. I can say it's silly with some authority because I know it's not all the Jews. The black community's got a heavy hand in the problems in this country as well. Also, some of you white folks better be taking a serious look in the mirror, because whether we talk about today in this country or all the way back to the Enlightenment era, a little bit further ahead when central banking really got off and running there in Europe, post-Enlightenment Europe, it was Europeans and white folks who signed the deal, who did the handshakes, who gave power of their most important institutions over to the Jewish influence and lobby that you criticize. There's enough blame to go around. And we better be getting real comfortable with that idea real quick. Or you end up with a revolution based on false auspices, and then you look up and go, the problems haven't actually been solved. Why is that? So maybe you were a part of the problem. Maybe it was your impulse to sell out. Maybe I don't even get to the politics. Let's continue on with the culture. It's like the whole China deal. So then the one thing that I'll say about the way that this war is being fenced, I don't like when we say Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror. I don't like that at all. It seems dishonest. It seems gravely dishonest, actually, in terms of the way that it gets disseminated to the court of public opinion. Because, I mean, anybody who has any sequential critical thought at all, 1 + 1 = 2, if Iran gets a huge portion of their money and their cash flow, their revenue from China, and China's our national moral enemy, China's the greatest existential threat to the West or to America, and we're in an asymmetric war with China, then that would make China the number one state sponsor of terrorism, because surely they know what Iran is doing. I think we actually say that publicly, that both Russia and China are aware of what Iran is up to, and I kind of think they are. When they say that Russia's sharing intelligence with Iran, I believe it. I don't think that means we should send another dollar to the Ukraine. Not another penny should go to the Ukraine, as a matter of fact. But I believe that Russia's sharing intelligence. I believe that there is a military alliance between China and Russia and North Korea and Iran. I can go there. I can get there. I can see that. If that's the case, the big brother is the number one state sponsor of terror, not Iran. And why are we being so favorable or cordial to the Chinese anyway? That's a question we have to start asking ourselves. And I mean, we really have to ask that question. Now, one could say, hey, America's manufacturing isn't to a point where we can fully decouple from the CCP or China. And until we get our manufacturing at home to a place where we can safely decouple from the supply chains, then every president, every elected official is sort of handcuffed to play the game of public approval, who, by the way, let's just be honest, the American people are so riddled with radical materialism, they actually had the audacity to try and fence a narrative about tariffs as detrimental. to the American people, because we wouldn't be able to buy dildos and action figures. That's how bad it's gotten in our country. If you really want to take a look in the mirror and diagnose how bad the culture is, how much the culture's decayed, Democrats in the mainstream liberal media told us that the tariffs were a bad thing because it would hike the price of action figures. When they say action figures, it's really a wink and nod to dildos and vibrators, but action figures and dildos at Christmas time. Cheap manufactured goods from China, a totalitarian, racist, ethno-national regime. We shouldn't tax them more. We shouldn't make them pay more. We shouldn't penalize them for their diametrical opposition to the way we view government, life, humanity, morals, ethics, what's right and wrong. We should just keep doing business with them the same way we always have been. Because if not, the American people are going to be inconvenienced at the point of sale in all of the retail stores, at Target and Walmart. The American people are going to be inconvenienced. It's going to cost them. See, and even that, the whole it's the economy stupid mentality. Affordability. We need to be talking about affordability. Now there's this entire right-wing movement. It's like, we need to be talking about affordability. We need to be addressing affordability. I think John Cornyn actually said that. The SAVE Act, oh, that's not important. That's, that has no chance. But we need to be addressing affordability. Communist. Marxist. Reducing the human existence down to price, which the Chinese are so good at, expert at. We fall into that, we're going to lose this country. We're going to lose this country in any way that resembles what we say America really represents. And that is some people's goal. But don't say Iran's the number one state sponsor of terror either, because they're not. No, China is. China is, and any patty cake we continue to play with the Chinese is only seen as weakness. It's only seen as weakness. Now, strategically in this game of risk that's being played out before our very eyes, does the blow that we've dealt Iran, if that's what you want to call it, put China in a peculiar position to either show their hand and their intentions or make them fall back and take the hit, the economic hit? Okay, well, as we saw in World War II, trade, sanctions, global economic relationships are the fundamental precursor to kinetic war. It's just as the history reads. I didn't write the story. I didn't write the history. I'm just reporting it. We called in the loans on the Germans. We gave them the ammunition to say that these Westerners, these non-German folk, these Jews, in some respects, is what they said, they're trying to crush our country by economic means, by asymmetrical economic means, by calling in these loans. So you can make an argument. I'm just going to throw this out there. They'll probably clip this and use this as the next thing to say I'm unelectable. You can make an argument that the predatory nature of money in this country and all around the world was the catalyst to the Nazi war machine. The business model. Because why did we even build Germany back up in the first place? If they were so bad. To hell with them. If they were so bad, if what they did in World War I was so bad, was so atrocious, if they were so belligerent, why'd we need to build them back up in the first place? What right do they have to be rebuilt? No, we didn't rebuild them out of altruism or humanitarianism. We rebuilt Germany because there was something in it for us. There was something in the deal for us. We saw an opportunity to capitalize on rebuilding Germany, only to have them become our mortal enemy once again several years later. And now, in some twisted fate, the enemy is still Nazis. Almost 100 years later. Riddle me that. Riddle me that. And they've made it so bad, you can't even talk about the issue. Or they say a person like me, who couldn't be more opposed by AIPAC, is looking for a check. You know how many AIPAC people I've had come to me? You know how many representatives or emissaries from AIPAC I've had come to me and say, what's your view on Israel? Say, I have 3 years worth of podcasts. Dive in, be my guest. But I wouldn't take your money anyway, because I don't believe in PACs or lobbies. And I don't believe in PACs or lobbies across the board. I don't believe in a PAC that actually has full alignment with my views. That's how purist I am about that particular issue. I wouldn't even take a PAC's money if they have the exact same views as me on every issue, because I fundamentally oppose PACs and lobbies. That's sacred honor. That's principle. That's a crisis we have in this country. That's something our candidates are lacking, but it's something we lack as a culture. We see everything as a sort of Darwinian game of a survival and in a way to forward our own agenda. Hey, you live by the sword, you die by it. You live by the gun, you die by it. You live by deceit, you die by it. I hope that my legacy is just telling the truth. There was a guy who just told you like it is. There was a guy who just told the truth. Wasn't even on a side. He wasn't picking a side. He was just saying it. I'm just reporting. I'm just telling you what I see. I don't know. I don't know what Kushner and Witkoff and the mullahs talked about in their private meeting. I don't know if the mullah said they had enough uranium, enriched uranium for 12 bombs or not. I don't know if the threat was imminent. Could have been. Maybe it was. That's the flip side of the coin. Maybe the conversation has gotten so warped and distorted, we're susceptible to attack because we've become so non-interventionist. We want no part of war whatsoever. We have no appetite for it. That could be. There's a multitude of things that are possible here. I know one thing. I told you, go back. Go back when Secretary of War, and I like Pete because he's a Minnesota boy. He's got that Minnesota Catholic thing going on to a degree. And, you know, he's a dude. He's a dude. Not all dudes are right all the time. But there's a difference between being a dude and a eunuch. See, we got to make those distinctions too. There is a difference between being a dude and being a eunuch. Like, there's a big difference between President Trump and Joe Biden. Anybody who denies that or doesn't want to acknowledge that, you're not being honest. You could not like some of their policies. You could not like some of the things President Trump is doing. But if you deny that he's a dude versus Joe Biden, who's a eunuch, then you're not being honest. Pete Hegseth's a dude. But you go back to when he was being confirmed, and I wanted him to get confirmed. But you go back to when he was confirmed and he was introduced to the Senate floor by former Republican U.S. Senator Norm Coleman. Now I'm seeing this video pop up and go viral where people are pointing out how often Norm Coleman has been seen with Pete Hegseth, and that Norm Coleman is sort of that Israel first Zionist connection to Pete Hegseth's political career. And you go back, and I said, I have a problem with Norm Coleman being the one to help confirm Pete. Why? Because the RJC, bring this up in the studio. The RJC, in my last election, in my last run, put out an article and said that I was anti-Semitic. If you're not aware, Norm Coleman is either the chair or the director, maybe he's the chair of the Republican Jewish Coalition. I didn't bring that up. Republican Jewish Coalition says Royce White's an anti-Semite. Point is, the crisis, is that it right there? I can't see it from where I'm sitting, but I think they brought it up for you guys. That's the Republican Jewish Coalition. And Norm Coleman obviously has an intimate stake in Minnesota politics as well, because he lives here and he was a former senator himself. Came from the Democrat side, you know, switched sides, praise be to that. But as effectively, and by the way, has never been a huge supporter of President Trump. Huge supporter of Israel, though, not a huge supporter of President Trump. And I do see that across the board. I was going to talk about political strategy. I think this is a beautiful segue it just so happens all these people who are Israel firsters tend to be people who formerly had a visceral hatred of President Trump. Riddle me that. I mean, we go right down the line. Go right down the line. Mark Levin, he didn't support President Trump on the record. National Review, Ben Shapiro types, they didn't support President Trump. Norm Coleman, he didn't support President Trump. All the people who come from the Norm Coleman wing of the Minnesota Republican Party, none of them like President Trump or support President Trump to this day. To this very day, I have to walk into these conventions in the Minnesota Republican Party and watch these Nikki Haley Republicans pretend like President Trump is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm sitting there going, do all you middle American Minnesota white folks really believe these people? And then if you get up there and say that, it's like, oh, Royce is too confrontational. We like politicians who are nice and kind and play well with others. I don't play well with others. I'm the type of guy that'll walk into Washington, D.C. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'll win an election. At some point, I'm going to win. Because at some point, the American people are going to say, enough is enough. We're sick of this. At some point, I'm going to win. And I'm going to keep running until I do. I'm 34 years old. God willing, I survive long enough to continue to run. I'm going to continue to run because the truth never changes. Only the seasons do. I'm going to win an election and I'm going to walk into Washington, D.C. and I'm going to get a tap on the shoulder. Say, we got a meeting. We got some people who want to meet you downstairs. We got a little breakout room, a little conference room. We want you to come down. There's some very important people we want you to meet. We want you to talk to. And I'm going to roll in the beautiful suit, just like the one I have on tonight. And they're going to sit me down and be real nice. And say, have a seat. Have a seat, Royce. Congratulations. It's good to see you get confirmed here at the United States Senate. You're quite the disruptor. Wow. Tall task to win there in Minnesota against those Democrats. Whoa, that's a stronghold. Go ahead and take a seat. You want some water? No, I don't want any water, so I'm okay. Pour my own water. I cook my own food. Get me with the exploding pager, but not get me with the glass of water. Sorry. Have a seat. You had a good run. You've come a long way. Congratulations. But we're going to tell you how things really go here in D.C. We're going to tell you how things really work. And at that very moment, I'm going to stand up from my chair. I'm going to pull my pants down and I'm going to piss on the shoes of whoever it is saying it to me. That's America. And they may blow my head off for doing it. That's also the history of America. But hopefully, when they do, some people will rewind the tape, come back to this, and it will spark a generation of young politicians who can't be bought and paid for just like I intend to be. The question is, do we actually have the heart and the moxie and the toughness and the grit to do what we all know we need to do? Which is not argue and bicker online and say, even Royce is looking for a check from AIPAC, because that's easy. And that's my problem with this. With this everything is the Jews crowd, it's too easy. It's the same as the people who you criticize who say everything's anti-Semitic. If everything's anti-Semitic or everything's racist or everything's misogyny or everything's homophobia or everything's the Jews, it's just too easy. Intellectually, it's too easy of an answer. It should tell you that it's not the right, formulation. It's not the right way to think about things because it's far more complex than that. And the biggest indictment of American culture is not the Jews. It's not the blacks. It's not white Christian men. It's not women. It's not the LGBTQ. It's Christians. Yeah, it is, because we're soft and we've lost our saltiness. But it's us individually. Just look in the mirror. What part of the CCP machine are you benefiting from in your own life? And could you do without it? Or are you at least okay with us making them pay double to get it to you? Are you at least okay with that, with us making them pay double, triple, in order to get you your fix? Can we do that as a nation? Can we do that as a government? Can we overcharge for them to get you your vice that's going to keep you from your civic duty? At least, can we do that to protect your sovereignty, your economic sovereignty, your individual sovereignty, your national sovereignty? Can we at least charge these people double? Triple? If it was me, it'd be quadruple. If it was me, I'd never go sit down. I wouldn't go to China at all. Why? We're enemies. We're not friends. You don't like us. You hate us. We don't even need to talk. The Cold War has already begun. No matter how much we talk, the Cold War is on. We don't know what China's doing beneath its waters, or at least that's how we're fencing it. No way to really know what China has. No way to know what America really has. We're in a Cold War. We don't want it to go hot, but no amount of talking is what's changing that. Because at the end of the day, when you sit down with President Xi and the CCP, you know they're lying to you, whether they speak fluent English or they're talking in Mandarin through a translator. You know you're being lied to. Same way they know we're lying to them. And like I said before, earlier tonight, when your government steals, everybody's stealing. So when you see those black folks, those young black men going into those department stores, you remind yourself, you could take up all, you could take all the young black men that have ever stolen something in this country and add it together, and it wouldn't be one iota of $38 trillion. It wouldn't be a drop in the ocean compared to $38 trillion that your government stolen from you. And that's exactly what they did. And not only did they steal it from you, they're stealing it from your kids and your grandkids as we speak. And I can't wait until we get back to a conversation about the debt ceiling. I can't wait till we get back to a conversation about the debt. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a reveal. Trade deficit down. Tariffs. We're getting money pouring in. And some people, for some reason, didn't like that. Okay. It's been another great Sunday evening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you got to know me a little bit more. Thank you to Alex Jones and the entire InfoWars team for allowing me to be the guest host every Sunday night, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We'll be back with you again next Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. from the White House on Free People Radio, X, Getter, and Rumble. Follow me on X. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you. God bless America.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN Zone website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where they put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhillstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexhillstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexhillstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at TheAlexShowStore.com. And I thank you for your support.